trust him. So greetings and good morning to all of you all here at the Safe House Church here in Greensboro, North Carolina, where we operate off three principles we believe that God has called us to be. And those three things, we call them DEA around here. We're not talking about the drug enticement enforcement agency, but we talk about discipleship, empowerment, and accountability. We're going to disciple you. We're going to teach you what we know. We're going to walk with you. We're going to hold your hand. Amen. But then at some point, you do this thing where the Bible calls growing from the milk to the meat. From the milk to the meat. And then when you start to get on the meat things of God, that's time for you to help somebody else. Therefore, what we empower you. If God's giving you giftings, this is not a house where we sit on giftings. God gave you a gift. I'm telling you, it's time for you to work it, baby. I'm not expecting you to be perfect. I'm not expecting you to hit all the bullseye every single time, but you work. We're working towards perfection. And I understand that perfect practice leads to perfect performance. So come on, somebody. That perfect practice leads to perfect performance. So not that we're practicing on people, but your gift got to make room for you. And meaning that you got to spend some time doing this. I'm not just started preaching today. I've been preaching almost, 12 years. Now, I just hadn't started getting in front of the camera, but it started out in front of what? In front of a cell phone. Oh, come on, somebody. About 8-9 years ago, it started out in front of a single cell phone. So now we get into multi-cameras and all these other things and all this nice stuff that you see. So I'm very comfortable in front of the camera now. But it started out at some place. So what? The Bible said, do not despise the day of small beginnings. So I'm here to tell you today, do not despise this thing. Do not despise what you see. Yes, we're still looking for a building. Yes, but we're waiting on God. Yes, you know, we got some things in order, but God has the ultimate order. Because I know he said what? That he would give us the desires of our heart. Meaning that what? He would tell me what to desire. Therefore, I desire. And now that I desire that, I go after it. And I go after it in faith. I go after it in prosperity. I go after it in strength. And I go after it in knowledge. Oh, come on, somebody. So now he also reminds us this last thing that we have called accountability. I am accountable to God's people, and God's people are accountable to me, and we all accountable to him. Oh, come on, somebody. I'm just a man that here I am is what a servant here. I can fall like anybody else. I tell you all the time, if I do something crazy, if I do something out of the order, you do not lose your relationship with him. Oh, come on. I just want to be clear because I'm nobody's God. I didn't die for anybody. But all I am is what? Just paying the price of being that servant here that I, you know, sense of servitude and a thing, because this is about service, amen? This is about service, and I'm just so grateful that out of all the people he could have chosen, that he has chosen me and given me the opportunity to serve him in such a way. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's easy, that I always like it, and it's a bed of roses, but nonetheless, that God is good, and his mercy endure forever. So we do believe in accountability. We hold each other accountable. The Bible said that iron sharpens iron. So if you want to be sharp, see, some people talk about accountability, but they really don't want it. Ooh, come on, somebody. Some people talk about being better, but they really don't want to pay the price. Because that means sometimes I'm going to rub you wrong. That means sometimes I'm going to pat you on the back. Then sometimes I'm going to throw my arm around you and tell you how much I love you. But remember, it always that I love you. Why? Because we want to see you go to the next level in him. We want to see you reach the next level in him. We want to see you be all that he's called you to be. We want you to see that fulfillment. We don't want you to get to heaven and say, what could I have done? What should I have done? What more did you have set up for me? But yet I got in my own way. You know, many times that we find out what the enemy is not the enemy, but it's the inner me. I-N-N-E-R, the inner me. It's the inner me that gets in the way. It's my will. It's my stuff. It's what I thought. It's what I considered, what I was looking at. That a lot of times it's the inner me that gets in the way. And sometimes because of the inner me that gets in the way, then we end up what? Abandoning God's will. Just want to remind you that each and every day here at the Safe House Church on Friday, we have prayer at 6 a.m. You can go to our website and click on the prayer link. Remember, we are still in the year of the double harvest. Remember, the harvest is not about you, but I'm here to tell you today that it's what? It's for us to help somebody else. I tell y'all in a couple of weeks, God didn't drop another one. I'm just trying to tell y'all, this is the year of the double harvest. And I'm telling you right now, the Bible said that what? In these prayerless times, that what? These times would come, but in the middle of this, that he's going to bless us. He's going to bless us. So in some weeks and days to come, I tell you all about it, what God is doing. You know, God is, but I know he's moving in my life. I know he's moving in yours, because the blessings, what? They fall from what? Head down. Woo! Come on, somebody. So I'm here to tell you today, Pastor got a number that just came in. So y'all get ready. Get ready. Those who are faithful, those who are falling after him, y'all get ready, because it's coming down too. It's coming down to you too. I promise you, it's coming down to you too. But if you're in what? Alignment. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect. I'm far from perfect. Trust me, ask my wife and my children. They'll tell you that daddy messes up sometimes. But he's also what, quick to come back and say, you know, I messed it up. Oh, yeah, I apologize to my children when I mess up. It's not beneath me. Those are my children. Amen. Just like you all are God's children. And if I mess up with you, I'll come back and apologize to you too. I ain't gonna sit and tell you that I always like, you know, sometimes you gotta eat that humble pie. But what is I be humble under his hand. To realize that none of us are above reproach. See, that's the problem we have a lot of times in our day right now, even when we talk about the wars and the things we have as well, because people believe they're above the law. They believe that they're above God's law. They believe they're above other people, so therefore they just want to take over things and run things and just none of us are above him. He can stop your heart just like he can stop mine at any moment. Why? Because he holds the king's heart in his hand. The Bible says he turned it whatever way that he made. So none of us are above reproach, but what? We can come back in forgiveness. The Bible says, if a brother come back, then what? You can restore such a one. Oh, come on, somebody, that you can restore such a one. So I'm just so grateful to all of you all for being here with us on today. Amen. As we go through, I believe, what the word of God has given us on this day. I think all hearts, minds and hearts and minds are clear. Want to give again shout out to Prophetess Jordan, who celebrated birthday on this week. We're grateful. We're grateful. Grateful. Me and my Safe House people. Yeah, birthdays. Y'all let us know, because Pastor big on birthdays. Every day, that every year of life that God has given you is a year to celebrate, and I'm grateful for that. Amen. So make sure that I have them all. So when your day come up, I want to make sure we shout you out too. Amen. Also, remember, we do have the TD Jakes Conference coming up in Charlotte here at 31st, March 31st, and then it's March 31st, April 1st, and 2nd. We do have some tickets left over. They're free of charge to you all. Just make sure you send a contact to me, and I can put your name on the list. And they did say now they are giving a virtual option. So if you would like to have that, let me know, because I think now they're going to do it. And I got to have all this stuff in by the 17th, so please. Email me, give me a call, send me a text message or something so that I can get all your information and put it into the system that they've given me access to, and then we can submit that. It's still my intention to go in person. I just want to go in person. I'm going to put my little mask on, and we're gonna bathe in anointing oil, and we're going to go on. Amen. Amen. I know God is good, but we're grateful. We're grateful. I know that they don't follow everything. They have Darius Daniels supposed to be on tap, and then they also have Joel Osteen is coming, and Denzel Washington is coming. Obviously, Pastor Jakes will be there, and just looking forward to it. Amen. Because, you know, I need my batteries recharged, too. I mean, you know, sometimes the pastor needs his batteries recharged, too. So, you know, you give, but somebody else got to pour into you. Amen. And God uses other men to pour into us sometimes. And he uses other women too. Amen. As evident today on our sermon today. And we'll talk about that. All right. So I'm going to go right into what I believe God has given us. I'm going to give honor to First Lady Felicia, who is the love of my life. And those two beautiful children that she was able to birth me, Preston and Madison. Daddy loves you. And thank you for giving me the time to do what I need to do to be able to seek God and touch God for his people. Amen. Because they sacrificed too, and I'm grateful that my mother-in-law, who also abides here in the home with us, and to all the beautiful people at the Safe House Church who just continue to grow with us, amen. But we've grown a lot, church. We've grown a lot, both spiritually and our physical and physically, amen, in that we've gotten more and more numbers. The online ministry just continues to grow, and we look forward to getting back in the building soon. I'm looking. If y'all see something, give Pastor a call, amen. Cause this thing is about to break, amen. This gas is gonna break somebody. They're gonna open up that building and change their mind. Somebody's gonna come and put the keys in our hands and say, hey, look, take it, amen. I'm believing that. All right, let's go on. How do I want to start this today? This is an interesting message that God has given me to share with you on today. And I'm trying to figure out exactly how I want to start this, but we'll just start out. I guess we'll just go. So on this week, you know, as you all know, from time to time, pastor does reach out to people. I'm one of those pastors that I enjoy talking to our people. I enjoy getting to know you personally because I believe that's important. I know we're not a mega church. We don't have thousands of people. So, you know, every now and then that God lays somebody on my heart that I haven't talked to you in a while, and I will reach out. And as evident, all of you all know that pastor pick up the phone and just call you out the blue. Hey, you've been on my heart. You've been on my mind. And I'm reaching out to you just to check on you and to see if everything is okay. And I have 1 hour. She says she has 2 pastors. And I just believe in God. I tell people I don't steal folk members. I just don't. But I do believe God lends people to you for a season. Amen. You know, that, you know, in the older days, we used to talk about, you know, call them church planters. Amen. That, you know, they were members here, but God would lend them to others for a season. Well, because the Bible said that, well, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. So sometimes when you have fewer laborers, then what? Sometimes you will borrow laborers from another vineyard. Oh, come on, somebody. This is called being the helper of one another. Mm-hmm. And so they will send you helpers for a season. You know, they help you with your harvest and get your harvest going. And once they help you with your harvest, then they will what? Then they would move on and go back to, you know, wherever they were, unless they, you know, exchange employment. And I often talk about this this particular individual. And I told her, I said, uh-oh, you done messed up. Because that right there, God just dropped that on my heart, and that's it. And we was talking, and I was talking to Sister Shay, amen. She said, well, you know, I got two pastors now, you know. And I understand, you know, she was going to another church, but God just allowed her to be in my path. Maybe 4 or 5 years ago, we connected because we was away at a conference for a couple of weeks. And we connected, and I think she got to see, you know, me, and I got, you know, to see her more and understand, you know, the things as we was working in this, you know, we're math nerds, amen. I'm a math nerd. I admit it. I'm okay with that. I know who I am. And she is a self-proclaimed math nerd also. And while we was there, you know, the guy just brought us back. You know, we, in the, you know, found out we was in the same city. And she's been tuning in to and been a blessing to this ministry. And God had laid me on, laid her on my heart. And I just called out to reach out to her and just, you know, just to talk. And, you know, and as we used to say, shoot the breeze and a couple other things I had going on. And we got to talking. And 1 hour turned into 2 hours because I was stuck in traffic on my way back from Fayetteville. And we were talking about some things. We were talking about stuff in math, and we were talking about some statistics, and we were talking about church, and you know, and all these different things, and things that, you know, that pertain to our stuff. And she said something that was profound. And we were talking about some things in statistics, and I was telling her about this program that we call R. The letter R, literally, the program is called R. And those who work in computer science and the data science areas and statistics, you know what I'm talking about. The program is called R. And R is an open source program, meaning that anybody can do anything pretty much on it. It's free. You can go out there and just get it and start programming stuff. And I was telling her about some of the benefits of us learning R and being able to teach it to some of our students, et cetera, et cetera. And she was telling me, you know, and we started talking about some of the, you know, the more properties in statistics. And we started talking about this thing of outliers. And outliers, and those who, you know, you remember, even if you took the basic statistics course, you probably talked about outliers. And then we was talking about this. I don't remember specifically what we were talking about at the time. But then she brought up this thing, and she said, well, you know, Pastor, outliers are who we are. She said, the outliers are who we are. And I stopped. And I think by this time I was in the drive-thru trying to get me something to eat. And I said, God just dropped that on me like a ton of bricks. That's what he wanted me to talk on Sunday. And I was telling her that. She said, and she started to laugh. I said, no, I'm very, very serious. And when I say this, Shay, because God just dropped that on me. He said, yes, the outlaws who we are. And he dropped scripture and verse on me right then. So I tell you today that God speaks through anybody. Amen. And I thank him for using Sister Shay this, because I believe that this is going to be a powerful word for someone, for you all on today, that the outliers are who we are. The outliers are who we are. Would you turn with me to the book of Peter, 1 Peter, the second chapter, and we're going to start in verse 9. 1 Peter, the second chapter, starting in verse 9. So you all say sink or swim today. Y'all blame Sister Shay for this one. Amen. And I know the ladies at the women at the well, that she's a part of that group. And, you know, we were talking about that. And as we talked about the women at the well, she was telling me how much she, you know, she's honored and enjoying that that particular place. So we're just grateful for that right now in the name. Hallelujah. Okay. I just think trying to give you something else. We don't have to wait on that. All right. And it says this. So 1 Peter. If you see it there on your screen now, 1 Peter 2 and 9. 1 Peter 2 and 9, and it says this. We're going to read through 17, so all you see on your screen is what we're going to go through. And it reads as such. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, meaning that you want that, but are now the people of God, which have now not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That you weren't always where you were, but you're there now, and be grateful. Dearly beloved, I beseech you. Watch this. I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Have your conversation honest among the Gentiles. The Gentiles, that's us. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they're going to blame you. Everything you're doing is against them. That they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. It's going to be because of the work that you were doing, even when they were doing evil against you. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. I mean, follow their rules. Whether it be the king, notice that's little case king. That's not the big K. Big K being big king, meaning our king. Whether it be the king as supreme, or unto governors, government, rulership, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Governors are sent. Little kings are sent of what? For punishment for evildoers. That means don't pertain to you. Oh, y'all, this is going to be good. And for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. When you know you're doing the right thing for the right thing, and you know you're doing it because God has told you to do it, and he's moved on you to do it, and you're doing it, you can't worry about the foolishness. They foolish. The Bible said if they over there acting up, they foolish. And you keep doing his work. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servant of God, that you don't do it. Yeah, you could have got him. Yeah, you could have shut him down. Yeah, you could have killed him, but you didn't do it because you're not in it for malicious pain. You're not in it because you understand that vengeance belongs to the Lord. And it's not yours. So what does he go on and says? He said, so honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor what? The little king. Honor the king. Let's pray. Oh Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just want to say thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for waking us up this morning, starting in our right mind. We thank you for that, Jesus, our names. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word, Lord Jesus, about to come forth. Lord, I ask today, Lord, pierce the hearts, Lord Jesus, that it sits on the minds, Lord Jesus, it sits on the souls, oh God, that it be something, Lord Jesus, that they chew on and they eat on all week, Lord Jesus. That your word reigns supreme, oh God, Lord Jesus, that we understand, Lord Jesus, and that we follow you, Lord Jesus, and know that we are the outliers. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise your name, Lord, and we give your name all the honor and all the praise, the glory and the power, Lord, for belong to you and you alone. For we dare not touch that glory. We ask you to do all these things to others in the powerful name of Jesus. For we know this one thing, and we know this to be true, that we walk by faith and not by sight. So if I would have to use for a subject today, for those who are taking notes, the outliers are who we are. Thanks, Sister Shay, for God using you like that. The outliers are who we are. So as we get in, and as any good math teacher would tell you, that you start out with your definitions, because the definitions of a thing are very important. You to understand what it is that we're saying and why we're saying what we're saying, we must be on the same page. So I'll start out with a couple of definitions for you. When we talk about statistics, you know, it depends on who you talk to. There's many say the statistics is a math course. And no, I say statistics is more of a course that uses math concepts to explain data. There's a difference. See, a math course, I'm teaching you how to do mathematics, and we talk about theories and all these kind of things, and things that are direct that would give us, direct and discrete answers, and sometimes they don't give us answers, and we just continue to work through them, and we think about theoretically, you know, if it looked like this, and we assume it looks like this, then this would be the answer to that, and then we often find ourselves testing those theories while we go forward. That's how we do it. It's called theoretical mathematics. But on the other side of this, then you have this thing that we have numbers, we have data. Then you have data. You know, if you take your blood sugar level for the next 20 days, then you have a set of data. And what we know is that history has a tendency to repeat itself. So what we find is that if we take historical notes, then we can try to find some trends. And it didn't always say that we're going to be exactly perfect or right. But what we do is now we base these trends off. We base what we're going to do in the future based off trends of what has happened before. When you think about the weather, where they look at the weather patterns, and they look and say, well, these are the things that's happened before. So if it snowed on this day before and it snowed on this day in the last 40 years, then it's a good chance that it's probably going to snow on this day today. Are y'all with me? So this is what statistics does. Statistics does, explains that data. Mm-hmm. So really, if you take it in simple terms, that we talk about statistics is just what? It's just the science of estimation and probabilities. Statistics is simply just the science of estimation and probabilities. Why? Because statistics says that I cannot get the entire sample. I only can get a portion of the sample. And if I believe that the sample that I have is representative of the people or the things that I'm measuring, then what I can do is take the little bit that I have and say that what the rest of this probably looks like. Are y'all with me? So what we essentially do is say, okay, so that's 500 people, but I only can get to 50 people. So what I'm saying is if I get a sample, what we call is representative, meaning that if my sample is very similar to the group of people, then what is happening in that smaller group, I say is happening in the larger group. Am I making sense to everybody right now? Yes, I know the math teacher's coming out in me. So now that we have this that is representation, and now we have this sample size, and now with this sample size, we're able to infer some things about it. We're able to do some testing on it, and based on these tests, then we're able to say, okay, this is what happened in this case, and if it happened in this case, then what I'm saying is this is probably what happens to everything else. I'm not 100% sure that I'm right, but sometimes we have this thing that we call an alpha value, and based on this alpha value is to the degree of certainty that I believe that I'm correct. So there is always room for error. Nobody in statistics is going to tell you anything is 100%. In fact, nothing in life is 100% except death and taxes. I am certain that you're going to pay both of those. Are y'all with me? So now we find ourselves here. And as we go in first, then we have these things in statistics that they call outliers. What is an outlier, Pastor? I'm glad that you asked. An outlier is a person or a thing that is detached. Watch this. That's detached from the main body of the system. Raise your hand and say, are you an outlier? Because what I find is, by definition, an outlier is what? Something that's been detached from the system. Mm-hmm. It exists, but it's not part of it. See, my Bible tells me that what? That we were called out. That we were a peculiar people. Uh-huh. We read those verses, right? That we were brought into what? His marvelous light. That what? That we are in the world, but we are not of the world. He also reminded me, he said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Because when you be transformed, that was that my mind was in this world, but I'm not in this world. Ezekiel said that it's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Oh, come on, y'all. I feel my anointing coming. That it's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. So therefore, that I might be a part of that outlier group. Mm-hmm. So what is the outlier? The outlier is this part in statistics when they grab the sample representation and it doesn't look like everybody else. It's not the average. What is the average? The average is simply this. And I know you didn't come for a math lesson, but this is math and spirituality together. That what in the sample space, that everything that's average is said, what does this look like if everybody was the same? And we find that we in a world today where everybody's the same. Everybody wants to wear the same clothes. Everybody wants to follow the same trend. Everybody wants to eat the same food. Everybody wants to have the same gadgets. Everybody want to have this and they want to have that. And what do? They go and they look to these people that they call superstars and they call icons and they call the leaders of the culture. And what they do is they follow after what they do. So what that they can look like them. So they set the trend. And now that they set the trend, then I need to be like them. And if I'm not like them, then I won't be accepted. And if I'm not accepted, and then I'm not a part of the group, so I must be an outlier. Come on, somebody. So if I'm not a part of the group, if I buck the trend, if I don't fall, if everybody else is going to hell and I decide that I want to serve God, if everybody else want to just run around here and run rapping and do whatever it is they want to do, but I want to serve the King, I might be an outlier. For it's the outliers, that's who we are. So my Bible tells me that what, that he's called us out of the muck and the mire, that he's called us to be above and not beneath. He's called us to be both winner and conqueror through Christ Jesus. That we are what? That we are in the world, that we're not of the world, but what, that even in that, that I am way over here. That means that I'm better than anybody else, but I just made a different choice. That means that I'm better than somebody else. It's just that I decided to do something different with my life. That I decided that I'm going to follow Jesus. That I decided that I'm not going to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I decided that when it's through his power and his grace that I'm going to walk through, that it's in his power and his grace that I'm made perfect. I just decided that, you know what? That, Lord, I need your mercy. I need your glory, oh God. For without that, Lord, I'm nothing, oh God. I'm a ship without a sail. I'm going to be like Peter. I'm going to be an outlier. That I'm going to step out of the boat and I'm going to walk on the water, oh God. And I hear the others calling because they say, we can't do that. You shouldn't be doing that. I'm going to be the bumblebee there. Lord, that according to science, oh God, that his wings are just way too small to let his body fly, oh God. But he continues to fly anyway. I'm going to be the one, oh God, Lord. They said that your body's wrapped with cancer, oh God. But Lord, no, you're going to bring me out of this, oh God. And I'm going to be the one that didn't fit the mold because I'm going to be decided that I'm going to be the outlier because I'm going to follow you, Lord. And you said that, Lord, that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Are y'all with me this morning? For those of you all who taking notes, let's take some notes today. Because what? It's statistics. They can't explain you. So they call you the outlier because you don't fit the mold. You don't do what everybody else is doing. You don't rock the way everybody else is rocking. When they go to the east, you want to go to the west. When they want to go to the south, you decide to go north. Why? Because you march to the beat of a different drum. No, you don't break the rules. Yes, you respect authority, but you say that, Lord, if it's against your authority, I can't do it. Lord, you're not going to put me in a situation, oh God. You're not going to put me in a circumstance. You're not going to put me under this thing that, Lord, I'm going to have to compromise who I am, Lord Jesus. Because if not, then, Lord Jesus, I don't need it, oh God. If I have to compromise who I am and how I walk and how I talk and how I go to the next level in you, Lord, and how I fall after you, oh God, then maybe I don't need this thing, oh God. And now you allow me to see this thing differently. Lord, you said that you were, even when I've been doing good to your people, oh God, even when I've been doing good, Lord, when I've been a blessing to those, Lord Jesus, who are evil against me, Lord, even when I've been a blessing to them, Lord, they don't understand why, because my spirit irritates their demons, oh God. Their spirit is irritated, Lord, and you said it's a sign of the greatness, oh God, for them, Lord, you that love you, oh God, that we will serve you. You said, Lord, who is greatest among you? You said, he that serve. He that serve. So number one, for those who are taking notes, you might be an outlier when it can't be explained. See, I heard this quote. Yeah, Lil Wayne. Yeah, I heard Lil Wayne said that he got a quote from somebody else, and I thought it was magnificent. I never thought about it this way. He said, how do you explain greatness? Greatness is one of those things you can't explain. You know, and he gave the reference there. When you look at LeBron James, and I've seen LeBron James physically in person more than one time. And you see this guy, he's 6'8", and he runs like a gazelle, and he jumps like a kangaroo, and he's strong like a ox, and all these things, and you just, I'm in awe. And, you know, I'm a big guy. I'm not small. I got some size. I can fit some ability. I got some things. But I'm just in awe of his physical attributes and ability to do things that others have not been able to do, the way he thinks and the way he moves on the court and how fast he was and all these things. Mm-hmm. That I was in awe of. Why? Because he was an outlier. He was unexplained. I can't explain why he's gifted the way he is. When I watch Usain Bolt run on TV, when somebody who's 6'5", who can move his long legs that fast, I'm here to tell you, you'll never catch him. He's an outlier. He's unexplained. Mm-hmm. Are y'all with me this morning? And see, so when I look at these athletes, I went one time, I remember in college, the fastest athlete I think I've ever seen in all my life, and I've seen a number of, I saw Michael Vick play in person when he was at Virginia Tech. And I went over on a Thursday night and saw them play at ECU, and I saw them obliterate as ECU. And I saw him running on that field, and I was like, oh my God, this has got to be the fastest human being I've ever seen in my life. I've never seen nobody, even to this day, and I've seen a lot of pro football in person, I've never seen nobody in person as fast as Michael Vick. See, so sometimes when you just see, you know when you're in the presence of greatness, you're just in awe of it. You know when you're in the presence of an outlier, you can't explain it. You know it when you see it, but you know that you don't know what it's all about. And what they can't explain is the God is in us. What they can't explain is the God is in me. Why does she put up with what she put up with? Why does she go through what she go through? Lord, if that was me with that child that was sick, oh God, I would have given up. I can't explain it, Lord, but it's something about it. Lord, if I was sick in my body like she is, if I was sick in my body like he was, oh God, I may have given up, oh God, but there's something I can't explain. Lord, I couldn't drive the miles that I drive. Lord, I couldn't teach the way she teach, but it's something that's unexplainable in them, oh God. I can't explain it, oh God, and it's the outlier that you called them to be. For we are the peculiar people. And he said, I called you out of the light, out of the darkness, into what? The marvelous light. Marvelous means wonderful. It means kind. It means glorious. It means outlier. It means that it's so good that you cannot explain it. You gave it marvelous, but you gave it marvelous because you couldn't explain what it was, because you could not understand, or you couldn't fathom, or you didn't have the words to understand what it is that you were looking at. And that's what we call an outlier. Because we can't explain them and we don't understand them. We try to pull them out of the group. Why? Because it would cause the rest of us to move. Did you catch that? Mathematically, it causes the rest of us to move. Because see, what happens is, if you take a number that's considered an outlier and you add it to your data, what it's going to do, it's going to sway your data one way or the other. It's going to, what we call officially, skew your data. Mm-hmm. If the outlier is below, what is it going to do? It's going to pull your data down. It's going to pull your average down. If the outlier is high, it's going to pull you up. And the Bible tells us what? That we are what? Fighting demons in what? High places. Principalities in high places. Mm-hmm. So as we continue to go higher, what happens is we push the norm. This is why they're irritated by you. Why? Because you do not settle for mediocrity. There's nothing average about Peter Ely, and there's nothing average about the Safe House Church, and there's nothing average about its members, and there will never be anything average of it. Oh, I'm not going to be pastor of it. Oh, come on, somebody. We're going to always push the envelope because God called us to be outliers. The outliers, that's who we are. And if we're doing anything less than that, if we're doing anything less than leading the way, if we're doing anything less than pushing the envelope, if we're doing anything less than being what I answered, if we're doing anything less than sharpening iron, we got to question our existence. I find that we look and we see Paul. Paul is always pushing the envelope. Paul was not, he was hated. Why? But why? Because he was hated because he always pushed the envelope. He always said, what if we did a little better? What if we took it to the next level? What if we had walked by faith and not by sight? What if we knew that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord? What if we did this thing in intentionality? I know it's going to irritate them. I know it's going to push them out of their comfort zone. What if I grew from milk to meat? What if I grew up and decided to be who God has called me to be? What if I actually believed my Bible and read the pages of it and walked it out? What if? What if I believe that he opened blinded eyes? What if I believe by his stripes that we are healed? What if? What would it I not do? No, that was point number one today. Number two, for those who are taking notes, we break the mold. People want us to fit in a nice little box. I remember some time ago, Tone came out with this album called Out the Box. Mm-hmm. And then Ricky Dilla came with an album right behind it and said, No Limit. Mm-hmm. There's no limit to what God can do. And all God is only limited by what? By our stinking thinking. Therefore, what? He tells us what? You know, take what? Take this mind in you. That's where? In Christ Jesus. So we are what? To take the mind of Christ and think like Christ. Why? Because Christ does not think with limitations. See, I think with limitations. Why? Because I'm limited to this human body and I'm limited to this human experience. But when I decide to walk in the supernatural, see, this is why we walk in my faith. When I decide that I'm going to walk in my calling and I'm going to walk in, I'm going to be a God chaser and I'm going to chase after him and I'm going to do what he tells me to do and I'm going to say what he tells me to say, that way I'm not walking in my own power. And now I'm not walking on my own power. Then that means what? I have the power to break the mold. I have the power to be outside of the box. I have the power of what? Because I don't fit exactly what they want me to be. I don't fit the ordinary pastor. I get it. I don't sing good at all, but I praise them. I don't. I'm not a hooper. I don't fit the stereotypical, what we call African-American pastor. Yes, I got a PhD. I got to earn PhD. I'm a mathematician by trade. Yes, I am. I didn't go to seminary. No, I didn't. I don't fit the mold. But I know the Bible said that You will know them by their fruits, and I see the fruits of the labor. So I know God is working. I know he's moving. And I can't listen to them. Y'all still online. Oh, y'all ain't got, you ain't got a building. And that's not going to work. And people are not going to go to church. But I see it because I see those who so faithfully come in on Zoom every Sunday. They come in on Zoom on every single morning. Oh, come on, somebody. I see those women of valor that God brings in. I see those who watch faithfully online. I know those who ghost watch later. I know those who watch on YouTube and all these things later. I know those who listen by the podcast by the thousands. That's why you can't listen to them. Oh, the human side of me wants to look. It's like, Lord, we're not doing anything. I'm sitting at this table. I'm in my house. Lord, when we going to go? When we going to get it? He said, Lord, my ways are not your ways. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. So then when we get to the point we get on one accord with him, then we break the mold. Church is not the church the same. That people are so scared of this germ that things are never going to be the same. Mm-hmm. That what? Things are what? Uncommon. See, I heard Prophet Brian Corn say this, and I never even thought about it as well. He said, the pandemic is not ended. Because the pandemic is not about the germ, COVID-19, but it's about the fear of people's hearts. The fear of the unknown. So right now, people are what? Fearing that we're going to run out of gas. This is why gas is so high. And every chance we get, what, people are just running and they fill up. And I get it. Because what? They're not believers. And since they're not believers, believers do what? Believers do what believers do. I mean, they're not believers. So unbelievers do what unbelievers do. They unbelieve. They don't believe why? Because they believe that their bank account is going to make it for them. They believe that their status is going to make it for them. And I'm here to tell you at the end of the day, no matter what I can do, no matter how much money I got in the bank, whatever I can do, that what? If God blows on that, if they decide they do not want dollars for gas and they want fingers, what are you going to do? You'll be short some fingers. Do you see what I'm saying? We know that our money in the United States, only it's not even backed by the gold standard no more. We just print money. Keep printing it. Means nothing. And then when people give up on it, then we're in a mess. So the pandemic is really not what? It's not about this germ, but it's about the fear of people's hearts. So we're going to be in this a while. But you and I, we don't walk like that. We don't talk like that. We don't move like that. We don't roll like that. So what? We break the mold. Number three, for those who are taking notes, we're uncommon. When you're a peculiar people, you are uncommon. When everybody else follows, you don't. Now, he said in the Bible, he said, follow the ordinances. Yeah, I follow the ordinances, but I treat people well. I follow the ordinances, but I have some integrity. I follow the ordinances, but I trust God. I do what they ask me to do. I go where I'm supposed to go. And in that, what? God protects me. There's a level of protection in that. That despite that, what they want to do, despite how they want to get rid of you, despite how they want to change things, despite how they want to see you fall, but every time they decide they want to see you fall, God just what? He lifts up another standard against them. I'm here to tell you the other day, they don't want to see you be successful. They don't want to see you grow. There's others who don't want to see this church grow. But I'm here to tell you today, if we'll follow God, church, if we'll stand still and know that what that this belongs to him, that it's not our fight, but it's his fight. And all he told us to do is what? To go forward in faith and believe and be obedient. For obedience is better than sacrifice. We're uncommon. You see, when you're an outlier, you don't fit the mold. You're uncommon. They don't know what to do with you. Because everybody else is doing this, and you consistently do this. You scare them when you're an outlier. Because I don't know if you're truly an outlier, or do we truly need to be, include you in the group? Because if we, remember I already told you, if we include you in the group, what you do is you move the needle. Watch this. And if you're moving the needle, and you're not labeled the leader, you are a threat. Think about that for a moment. If you are moving the needle and you are not the leader, then you become a threat. Why? Because now you have more influence than the leader. Ooh. This is why Paul and Daniel and all these guys chose. These guys, what? They were uncommon. They were outliers. Remember, Moses was an outlier. Moses was not, he was raised Egyptian, but he was born Hebrew. And he was put in a house where he didn't fit. You don't fit. But how many of you know that we all have a place one day that God is going to put us there, we're going to fit. He didn't want you to fit there. Why? Because you couldn't get comfortable there. And if you got comfortable there, then you would not push towards destiny. You would not push towards greatness. You would not push towards the things that he's called you to do and go to places that he's called you to go, to say the things he's called you to say, to live how he's called you to. That what? The Bible said, well, he allowed these evildoers to do these things to you. Why? Because it's pushing us. For some of us, it pushes us to our knees. It forces us to pray. It forces us to focus. It forces us to know, Lord Jesus, Lord, not by my will, Lord, but by your will, that it be done. Some of you, this is the best season of one of the best seasons in your life. Why? Because you're praying and you're sincere about it. Mm-hmm. And he's continuing to open up doors. He's continuing to do things. But what? You march to the beat of a different drum. Number four. You march to the beat of a different drum. So the Bible said, what? He told them, you abstain. Abstain from what? These fleshly things. Why do you abstain? Because you heard. And when you heard what you were doing, you were brought out. He said, you heard, then you came out. And you came out of the darkness into the marvelous light. And then when you heard, then what? You transformed your mind. And you know what? When you heard, they're going to speak against you. Who does she think she is? Who does he think he is? Or he's arrogant, or she's arrogant, or she's this. No, you're not arrogant. You just know who you are. You just don't beat to. You just don't march to the beat of everybody's drum. You know that he's Jehovah Jireh, that he's my provider. You know that he holds the king's heart in your hand, and he can turn whatever way you may. I just have to remind you this morning, because sometimes I have to remind me of who he is. Because sometimes I get lost in that. Sometimes we all get lost in this. And number six, my last point today is put silence to the ignorance. As he told us, put silence to the ignorance. That means what? You do what you do. Meaning that you be great anyway. That you bless them anyway. That you love on them anyway. When they want to use them, you go forward anyway. And he said that what? All the evil that they're doing around you, all this stuff around you that they're trying to pull down, all this stuff that's trying to fall, all this stuff they're trying to mess up, what is he going to do? He's going to make your name great. 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 What is done in the dark, he will bring to the light. Those things that were done in secret, he will bring out. He knows the praying. He knows the fasting. He knows the sacrifice. And in due season, those things will come to the light. And what is he going to do? Those who had everything to say, those who said he must have truly sinned, that's why he's sick. That's what he told Job. Job, right? Job, you must have sinned. That's why you're sick like this. You did something. That's why that child is mentally unstable. It's something that you all did as parents. That's what they told that couple in the Bible. And the Bible tells them, but it was for my glory. That's why we sung that this morning. But it was for my glory. And I want to remind you today, brothers and sisters, that this thing is for his glory. I know it's tough. I know it's not an easy thing to do. It's downright hard sometimes to see it seem like everybody else is prospering but you. When it seems like everybody else is going up but you. When it seems like that these people who are doing evil things and bad things are getting away with it. And the Bible said, yeah, they will for a season. For a season. So what I'm learning, brothers and sisters, is that we got to outlast the season. What I'm learning is that we got to stand through the season. What I'm learning is we got to go forward in the season. What I'm learning is that we got to walk by faith and not by sight and know that as we go forward in this season, that things will be different because of the season. So what, can I stand in faith and know, Lord, that we for me and do it for a night? But when that season turns over, when that morning comes, that morning is the changing of the season that is going to come in the morning. That what you're going through right now, brothers and sisters, is just a season in your life. And it's going to season you to a place that you never, ever thought that you would be. I hope that this message has been a blessing to you. Because you are an outlier, so you better get used to it. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You're both in a incomparable through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. The outliers, that's who we are. Remind yourself, I want to get a t-shirt that said, the outliers, that's who we are. I want to put it all across the t-shirt, the outliers, that's who we are. And you are an outlier, and don't you forget it. And because you are an outlier, don't expect to fit the mold. Don't expect for them to accept you. Don't expect for them to take you in. Don't expect it. Why? Because you don't fit the mold. And you irritate their demons. And since you irritate their demons, they can't have you around in that capacity. It's not about you. It's not something you've done. Stop blaming yourself. Maybe if I would have did this. Maybe if I would have did that. Maybe I would know. It's not that. Hear me well. It's about the season. And church, as we walk through this season, as we go through this season, as you go through this season, know that God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you've been sowing these seeds of goodness and graciousness and love and kindness and putting forth this effort, God knows. And he's not the guy. But the Bible said promotion doesn't come from the east, the west, north, or the south, but promotion comes from God. That's both in the natural and in the spiritual sense. And when he gets ready to promote you, he will promote you. And it's nothing no man can do. When God opens that door, when he opens that window, there's nothing that no man can do. No matter what they want to do, no matter what they want to say, how they want to go, that what? God is not locked. And he fixes it. God bless you all. I love you all. I hope that you found this message to be a tremendous blessing to you on today. So as we get ready to close here, I want to be able to pray with you. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you, Lord. We want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for these outlaws that are in our midst. Oh, God, the misfits, Lord, of our culture. Oh, God, those who don't seem to fit in anywhere. Oh, God, those, Lord, who are wondering, oh, God, but, Lord, but we know that you've called us out to be a peculiar people. Oh, God, that we call us out, Lord, to be the heads and not the tails. Lord, to be above and not beneath. Oh, God, to be winners and conquerors through you, Lord Jesus, that we don't fit them all, oh, God, that we're uncommon to them, oh, God, Lord, that we irritate them, oh, God, because we pull them to the next level, oh, God. We call them to accountability, oh, God. We empower, oh, God, and we disciple. Lord, and I thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask that you touch each and every person that's here with us on today. I ask that you bless them, oh, God. Keep them, oh, God. Lord, you let them be whole, oh, God. Lord, you whatever outlier that you have in their life, oh, God, whether it be their health, Lord, whether it be their wealth, oh, God, whether it be their mental capacity, whether it be their strength, oh, God, Lord, we thank you. Lord, and we love you, Lord, and we praise you, Lord. I ask that you help them to go to the next level, Lord, and we honor you for that, Lord, and we praise your name for that, Lord, and we give your name all the honor, all the praise, the glory, and the power, Lord, for belongs to you and you alone, for we dare not touch that glory, but we know this, and we know this one thing, we know this to be true, that walk by faith and not by sight. Hallelujah. If this is blessing, this offering has been, if this has been a blessing, that you be a blessing to the Safe House Church. Safe House Church, we take offering on the Cash App. That's the $ Safe House Church, GSO. Again, that's $ Safe House Church, GSO. Or you can find us at paypal.me/ministryaid. Again, that's paypal.me/ministryaid. Or you can get us on the snail mail. That's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Again, it's P.O. Box 862, Summerfield, North Carolina, 27358. Remember, Luke 6:38 says this: give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom. It's not going to be us, but it'll be men that will give unto your bosom. God bless you. Love you all. And we thank you for your continued support of the Safe House Church. Also, I want to remind you here on every Monday, here we have the women of the Safe House Church. Amen. Just so proud of this group and what God is doing here in this group. This is a women's only group where they are here having Bible class and just loving God and teaching and holding on and encouraging one another. If you would like to join, I mean, you don't have to be a part of our church to join. It's absolutely free. You can join at safehousechurchgso.com/women. And what you're going to do is you're going to register. It's going to kick you a link, and then that'll be your private link to get into the Bible study with them. You only have to register that one time, and then you will continue to use that link once you have registered, and you'll find yourself there celebrating with these women of God. Amen. I'm just so grateful to them and the leader, Sister Pamela, as she leads that group. God bless you all. I love you all. This has definitely been a tremendous blessing on today. As we are reminded that we are the outliers, the outliers are who we are. Don't let nobody else tell you anything different. When you see these things coming, continue to do good. Continue to follow the ordinances, but know that you are an outlier, that you will never quite ever fit. So stop trying. Start trying to fit. You'll never quite fit in that place or in that situation, but God has a place for you. And when he's ready to move you, he'll move you. God bless you all. We love you all. You have a tremendous rest of the day. Take care. And as Lord's will, we see you on Wednesday. All right.